relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome, dear friends, to America First One-on-One, where we get to go deep dive on some of the key issues of the day and get to know some of our regular guests just that little bit better. It is the long form. Why? Because these are the issues that deserve, that demand just that little bit extra commitment by us and by you, our dear listeners and viewers across the nation. Today, we are delighted to have with us the former Attorney General for Kansas, who is now the head of the Amistad Project, teaching at Liberty University, and he is on a mission to find out what happened in the last election, if there was fraud, how much there was, and what we can do to prevent it next time. Phil Klein, welcome to America First One-on-One.
Thank you, Sebastian. Great to be with you again.
So, Phil, for those who have just tuned in by accident or somebody shared this video with them, let's start by talking about your background, your past, and how you got to be doing what you are doing right now.
Well, I actually became interested in law and politics because in the ninth grade, my mother was running a business. She was a single parent of five children, and I was out playing baseball. And the state showed up with a surprise inspection, and a silly write-up almost shut down her business. So she pulled me off the ball field, Sebastian, and threw me into a law library and said, you got to figure this out because I can't afford an attorney. And so I started dealing with the administrators.
Hang on. How old are you at this point, Phil?
I'm in ninth grade. And there was an attorney in the law library who took me under his wing a little bit, helped me out. We went to hearing. And we won because of the purpose of the law. This hearing officer, and it was an informal hearing, still intimidating to a small business owners, he recognized the purpose of the law. And it wasn't for the government to do a heavy hand smackdown and be in competition with the private sector. So I fell in love with the law because it's supposed to be a protector of our freedom. But through the past 30 years and so on of practicing law and being involved in law as attorney general, as a state legislator, as a law professor, we are now using the state oftentimes views individual freedom as the enemy. And the administrative state in America is what's running the show, more so than your elected official up on the Hill.
Let me just stop you there, Professor Klein, A.G. Klein. For those who aren't familiar with it, those who don't battle swamp monsters, what is the administrative state?
Well, long ago, Congress decided it was best to claim to solve every human problem of the human condition. So if anything hits the media, you got a congressman introducing a bill to fix it. And then they don't give much thought as to how that bill applies. So I pass a bill that says all Americans shall be happy and pleased. And then I kick it over to the executive branch and give some agency, federal agency, full of career-protected civil service employees who are their lifetime, the full authority to determine how to implement that law. And through those agencies, they create all kinds of new law, including criminal law. In fact, Sebastian, there were 54 crimes, federal crimes, at the time this nation adopted a constitution in 1789. Now, about 4 years ago, a congressman asked the Congressional Research Service to number all the federal crimes. They came back after 2 years and said, it's impossible. There are too many.
It's the too many to count.
Too many to count. That is the administrative state. If Sebastian, if you were to, your a daughter or granddaughter have a Kool-Aid stand, and they put up by the street, give a hoot, don't pollute, and had a little trash can and asked for the paper cups to be thrown in the trash can. That's the potential of facing 5 years in federal prison for misappropriation of a state or a federal slogan. It's insane what we're doing in this country. And the administrative state is running it. They have no political accountability. And in fact, that happened in this election. We've moved to machines to the point, and you can't see in the machine. I can't see in the machine. There's only a handful of people in the nation who actually understand the coding. And we are not allowed access to the computer logs. They're considered the property of the 8 machine companies that sell the machines.
So hang on, I have to stop you again. The logs, yeah. The tallies of the votes, the most sacred thing we do as citizens in this nation, the tallies, the logs of those votes do not reside as the property of the states, but the manufacturers of the machines control them, Phil. Am I hearing you right?
Yes, the computer logs, which tell you what software was on there, how it operated, whether there was any malware, who had access, are not made available to the political candidates. And by the contract that the election officials have entered into, they're the proprietary property of the vendors. Now, it's analogous to this, Sebastian. It's like there are 8 of these companies in the nation. It's as if we hired 8 people and said, look, we don't have the ability to see a ballot and count it. We need you. And so we're hiring you to actually do the count. You can hire who you want. We're not going to do any background checks on you. We're not even going to ask you the names of who you hire. We're going to put you in a room that has no windows and certainly no ability for anybody else to get in. And after a while, come out and tell us who won. And we won't ask questions. That's the American election system today.
I don't know if this is part of your remit, but I have to ask it. How does this compare to other countries? I mean, it blows my mind. I know that in Mexico, their elections are so secure that they have voter ID for everyone. I know in India, the most populous democracy in the world, likewise, every single voter has voter ID. I know many nations maintain paper ballots and paper ballots only, very advanced allies of us in NATO just to have that paper trail. How does what you've just described, American elections, compared to other developed nations?
Any developed nation that has moved towards digital management of the elections has had problems because you lose transparency. You lose the ability for the average person to be able to be in that counting room and say, wait a minute, you know, that box is checked for Biden, not Trump, or there's not a vote on that ballot. We have to get back to that. And really, why do we have this? Why are we so impatient in what's supposed to be the world's greatest democratic republic to say that we can't count votes, we need a machine to do it, and we need to have the media declare a winner on election night? That's insane. There's no practical reason for that we have to declare a winner on election night.
And was this originally all justified on that basis of saving on labor costs, that we, you know, we save on human counters by getting a machine? Was that the justification, Phil?
Well, first of all, we don't save any money by going to machines. That's just a joke. It is enormously more expensive. And one of the motivations to go this way, it occurred after Bush v. Gore. And you might recall, Sebastian, you and I are similar enough in age that I remember looking at the picture and watching TV and seeing the hanging chad, you know.
Yep.
Should a hanging chad be reflective of voter intent? Should it be counted a dimpled chad? And America had a uncomfortableness about it there because we had different opinions. But at least we all had an opinion. We were in the counting room. We knew how it was happening. I have not met an election clerk yet or a secretary of state who fully understands how those machines operate.
That's stunning. That's truly stunning.
They're wholly dependent. You look, Google, your viewers, Google, and I hate to even say Google, get another search engine if you can, because the algorithms in Google definitely benefit the left, and they're engaged in that. But search on the internet, election glitch machine, and you'll get hundreds of hits. And who provides the answers of what happened? The vendors, the people who sell the machines.
Wow.
And we don't even know who they are. I mean, we don't know all of the employees that work for him. It's insane what we've done with our elections. Elections are pretty darn simple. You got to be able to count, and you got to make sure nobody gets back in line that shouldn't get in line.
Yeah, you've got to be able to count in most cases a binary choice. You've got to be able to discriminate a spoiled ballot, and that's about it. So adding up and deciding whether something is spoiled, unbelievable. We're going to discuss this for the whole hour. Follow this man's work at AmericanVotersAlliance.org. That's AmericanVotersAlliance.org. Director of the Army Star Project, Phil Klein, former Attorney General of the great state of Kansas. Are you doing enough for our Lord and Savior? What does it mean to be a modern missionary? Let me give you a suggestion. It's Food for the Poor. For 39 years, they've been helping the most vulnerable in our hemisphere, especially now those that are suffering and starving in countries like Haiti. Young children who don't deserve their plight, please support them. Go to sebgorka.com. Make a donation today with the Give Food banner. You could literally be saving lives. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com. Click on the Give Food banner or call Food for the Poor on 855-330-HOPE. That's 855-330-4673. I'm Sebastian Gorka, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that's real, pain relief that works. Why do I say that? Because I know it. I've been living it for 2.5 years. But it's not just me. It's tens of thousands of Americans across the country, like Yvonne from California. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. Pain-free, incredible words. Find out for yourself. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less, taken morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you'll know whether it works for you like it works for me, Yvonne, and thousands of your fellow Americans. 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.
We're back with Phil Klein telling you the things you're not allowed to know about election fraud in America. Phil, I usually
have the capacity to freewheel these interviews because, you know, I know my guests, they've been on regularly. This time I have such a long list of stuff I want to ask you because, you know, these are the things we still don't have answers to. You talked about the administrative state. Let's talk about another massive piece of the puzzle, the courts, okay? We'll talk about the Supreme Court in a moment. You're a former attorney general. Talk to us about the fact that it was deemed by conservatives a massive success that my old boss, Donald Trump, appointed almost 300 federal and circuit court judges. Since last November, I've seen basically cowardice. I've seen an unwillingness to hear even evidence of voter fraud. So will you give us your reasoned, experienced snapshot of the state of the judicial system in America today? Just how bad is it?
Well, generally, I don't have, as it relates to elections, criticism of the United States Supreme Court because it sees its role as very limited. And the opportunity provided in our laws that have been passed by state legislators and Congress do not afford sufficient time to investigate an election before a president is sworn in. So, in other words, the United States Supreme Court will look at treating people differently under the law. That's their primary concern about the election process. Are voters treated differently based on class? And I will tell you, Sebastian, they were this time. But there hasn't been sufficient time to really develop that evidence into a court case from the 2020 election. It takes time. What the Supreme Court was essentially saying is this. Beyond that, it's up to the state legislature. That's who the Constitution gives the responsibility to determine the presidential electors and to determine the time, place, and manner of elections. It's a political question whether we should have faith in the election, and the political leaders need to decide that. And in that way, the court, I believe, is correct. And the real failure that's unspoken of is the state legislatures.
Well, we'll talk about the states in a second, and I'll take your word for it. But surely to reason, as the Supreme Court did after November, that one of the most populous states in the union, Texas, doesn't have standing in a federal election is asinine, is it not? Because you're choosing a president and a president who is the president of Texas as much of the president of Connecticut. So isn't that a spurious argument? Wasn't there a lack of spine on that decision?
Yes, a definite lack of spine. The court did not want to inject itself and at such a volatile time and make that determination. So it used standing as a basis to kick the suit. And the court manages issues like standing for political reasons often. It's unfortunate. And the court should take up a case because the 2020 election was unprecedented in a couple of things that are indisputable. First of all, it was the least transparent election in United States history. And that's because that election officials made the decision to kick people out of the counting centers. And this is also a judicial failure. We have the deconstruction of law. In other words, as words lose meaning in a culture of moral relativism, the law loses its power. I'll give you an example. We're in Michigan, and Michigan law is real simple. It says, and most states have this, Sebastian, it requires that both political parties be present where they are curing ballots and counting ballots. Well, that
stop
makes sense.
Stop there for a second. Stop there for a second, because most people aren't familiar with that. What does curing ballots refer to, Phil?
Well, I'll give you an example in Michigan. In Michigan, the Secretary of State claims it was a mistake, interestingly, but she mailed absentee ballots to our military personnel overseas on the wrong paper. So when the ballots came back in and were using those darn machines to count them, the paper would crinkle up in the machine. And so what Michigan law says is when that happens, that ballot is spoiled, so to speak, then a committee sitting around a table that must include a Republican and a Democrat in the place where this is being done must review the ballot that isn't working, and then they actually transfer those votes over to a pristine ballot that the machine can read. So in other words, you have people in that room casting a ballot for people who are not there. They're overseas serving our nation. So they would say, well, look, it looks like this guy voted for Biden, and they mark Biden. And they go on down the list, and then they cast the vote and count it. Now, it makes sense. Again, transparency is the key prophylactic to fraud, that you have a Republican and a Democrat, and they agree on what that crinkled ballot says, and that the other ballot was filled out properly, then we have a fair election. But what they did in Michigan, in Detroit, is because of COVID, they consolidated the counting center. In other words, they took 134 wards and put them in one room, okay? Which doesn't make sense. You create a crowd because of COVID. Then they took the one Republican and they put him clear up in the cheap seats where he or she couldn't see the table. So they couldn't see what was happening. They couldn't sign off that it was done properly. And the response was, well, there's a Republican in the place.
Yeah, he's 60 feet away. He can't see anything, but he's in the room.
Can't see anything. So you defeat the purpose of the law. My response is, Detroit is a place. The planet Earth is a place. There's a purpose to the law. The purpose was defeated. That is unlawful. But we had a local judge who said, no, I'm a strict, what we call textualist. It says place that was satisfied. I can't question it. That's a failure of the judiciary. And it's a failure in what we debate in jurisprudential or in the legal community. It's a failure because they won't consider purpose or moral absolutes. And it's deconstructing language. And when you deconstruct language, you've destroyed at least man-made law or law that's passed by Congress, because all that is a string of words. And if you can't agree what the words mean, you have no law. And that's happening in America today. And in fact, most law schools teach law that way. So we have people using those definitions of words for their own objective or own purposes. And it becomes a game of power. And that's what we see today in Washington, D.C. It's about power and authority more so than moral absolutes.
Absolutely shocking. We're talking to Phil Klein of the Amistad Project, also Liberty University. Follow him on Twitter at Phil, two L's, at Phil D. Klein. That's K-L-I-N-E. We are streaming on our Rumble channel. That's rumble.com/Seb Gorka, rumble.com/SEBGORKA. Don't forget our podcast as well. And if you want to support our efforts here, this is a free market enterprise. Please check out our new store. That's SebGorkaStore.com. That's SEBGORKA, SebGorkaStore.com, where you can get signed copies of all of my books. Sadly, more relevant than ever, the first one, Defeating Jihad, also Why We Fight, and the most recent one, The War for America's Soul, as well as your other America First merchandise. If you are proud of the America First message, go there, check out all of the gear and also our books. And don't forget, we are on every social media platform that matters. Twitter, Facebook, Getter, Parler, Rumble. Check them all out, and we will return momentarily with none other than Phil Klein of the Amistad Project. It might be a cliche when you say you are what you eat, but it is absolutely true. Eating the right food ensures your body gets the nutrients it needs to maintain your health. And that includes, whether you like it or not, guys, I'm sorry, fruits and vegetables. If you're not a big fan, and most of us guys aren't, you still need to eat them. Do what I do. Dr. Douglas Howard's Balance of Nature is a game changer. Just vegetables, just fruit, freeze-dried into 6 little capsules. 3 red for fruit, 3 green for vegetables that provide you 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables your body needs and craves. Be the healthiest you can be. Dr. Howard's going to give you 35% off and free shipping on your first preferred order if you use my name. If you're worried about your health, just do this for your wife, for your mother, for your children, for your grandchildren. 800-246-8751, balanceofnature.com, promo code Gorka.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Back with former Kansas Attorney General, Director of the Amistad Project, Phil Klein. Let's move to the broader issue of narrative. We were told after the last election that this was the most secure election in American history. You're not allowed to question the results, which is peculiar. When Donald Trump won, the Democrat Party had a very, very different attitude to the security of our elections. Play cuts.
We recently also, I actually held a demonstration for my colleagues here at the Capitol, where we brought in folks who, before our eyes, hacked election machines, those that are being used in many states but are not state-of-the-art from our perspective.
We're very concerned because there's only 3 companies. You could easily hack into them. It makes it seem like all these states are doing different things, but in fact, 3 companies are controlling them.
43% of American voters use voting machines that researchers have found have serious security flaws, including back doors. These companies are accountable to no one. They won't answer basic questions about their cybersecurity practices, and the biggest companies won't answer any questions at all. 5 states have no paper trail, and that means there is no way to prove the numbers the voting machines put out are legitimate. So much for cybersecurity 101.
So those are all Democrats. Then Senator Kamala Harris, Amy Klobuchar, Senator Wyden, saying that none of these systems are secure. They can be hacked. That was 5 years ago. Those voices are now deafening in their silence, are they not, Phil Klein?
Yes, the vulnerabilities of the machines has been known for decades, and it's been known on the left and right. Sebastian, it's so bad that DEF CON, which is a gathering of hackers, a convention of hackers, they used to have a contest on who could hack these machines. Now they're letting grade school, junior high, and high school students do it. It's so simple. The machines have known to be a problem forever and ever. We cannot rely on them. And what I have seen is a continued identification of the machine vulnerabilities. I have not seen proof that they were hacked. I believe our election was hacked from within, and it was done knowingly by blue state officials who entered into unique and unprecedented private-public partnerships and contracts to share sensitive citizen data with the private sector.
So let's talk about that. Is this the $500 million from Facebook, or is this something else?
It's something else.
Okay, so explain this hack from inside. What does this refer to, Phil?
Okay, it's kind of a double hack, so to speak. You have this shadow government of nonprofits that injected more than $1 billion of talent and monies, including $450 million from Mark Zuckerberg, through nonprofits to buy local election offices in the urban core, consistent with former campaign manager for Obama, David Plouffe's design to win the election for Biden. So they used their money to buy these offices. They paid the judges. They did all these things. They demanded them that they would proceed in a certain way. And if they didn't, they'd take their money away. And they
let's stop it, because this is a very serious accusation. When you say buy these officials, these aren't bribes. They're actually openly funding these local election bodies, correct? Let's be specific.
That's right. And they paid their salaries. They paid the judges. They paid all of that. And they told them what to do, or they'd claw their money back. And they became partisan campaign turnout centers for Biden. That's a problem when government puts its thumb on the scale when it's supposed to be objective. So that's the hack of the private nonprofits. They also hacked it from underneath towards our poll books. Blue state officials gave specific licensing access, or what I mean is direct digital access to our poll books, to a certain extent, even more so than county clerks have, to leftist organizations around the nation, who then relicense that access to others. We don't know the names of everybody who accessed our poll books. There were no background checks.
When you say poll books, you mean the voter rolls.
That's right. When you used to come across a table and the League of Women Voters was there and they'd have you sign a paper to register to vote, which is fine, and we appreciate those registration drives. That registration, that paper, went to a county clerk. The county election clerk had the responsibility to put that into the poll books, but they also had political accountability. First of all, your county clerks generally review a jurisdiction that's about a county in size, so it's easy to audit to see how they're performing and how they're doing. Secondly, the county clerk is familiar with their community. So if you have 300 registrations at a vacant lot, they generally know, and they'd be concerned about it. Thirdly, they're subject to open records and open meetings laws, so you can audit. We can all see how they're doing their job. Yes. And fourth, you can vote them out of office.
You're listening to America First with Dr. G.
Back with more One-on-One with Phil Klein here on the Salem Radio Network. Phil, let me run something by you that has been my bugbear. You're on the front lines, I'm not. We have the footage of the CCTV cameras in Georgia after the GOP poll watchers have been escorted out of the building. We have the video here of these pieces of luggage being pulled from their secreted places under the tables with ballots inside them, which is not how you run an election. Do we have that video cut?
So the same person who's staying behind now, the same person who cleared the place out under the pretense that we're going to stop counting, is the person who put the table there at 8:22 in the morning. Yeah, I saw four suitcases come out from underneath the table.
So pulling suitcases of ballots from under a hidden table when the GOP poll watchers have been moved out of the building. Here's my bugbear, and maybe it's just because I'm the layman here. Yes, clearly the voting machines are a problem. Yes, they could have been hacked. Yes, the fact that we don't have access to their internal vote tallies or the code is massively problematic. But when we've got old school voter fraud like that, when we've got tens of thousands of mail-in ballots being counted that have never been folded, that there's no way they were mailed anywhere because they are the so-called pristine ballots. Phil, shouldn't we be focusing on the old school Chicago way of stealing elections? Wasn't that enough? Or does it have to be a multiplicity of investigations?
Well, I don't believe that there was an algorithm. I haven't seen evidence proving an algorithm, and I'm afraid many of the audits and many of the claims are chasing shiny objects rather than getting at the truth. And I say that, Sebastian, knowing full well that the digital infrastructure of our elections is vulnerable. It is vulnerable. We should go away from it. And if people get past their Trump blindness on the left, they agree we shouldn't be doing this. It is silly. We need to get back to paper. We need to get back to counting. Now, what happened in this election is that nonprofit money cleared the way for the old Democrat machine to operate like it always operated. You know, you go back to Kansas City. I'm from Kansas City. There was a guy named Pendergast. He was mayor of the town. He operated the Democrat machine by having ward bosses, and they would deliver services if you delivered ballots. If you needed a new sewer line, guess what? It just meant that you delivered your ballots. If you go to Fulton County today, there's a group of nonprofits, and they're the ones who manage the election as far as collecting ballots from those they provided services to. They broke the chain of custody of the ballot with drop boxes. The creation and the need, suddenly it was unsafe for you to actually take your ballot and mail it. Rather, we have to have drop boxes. And these drop boxes were not monitored like they claimed. They did not pick up the ballots with a Republican and a Democrat. They can't even produce the paper to tell you who picked it up and what time it got in or anything like that. That allowed for the infusion of fraudulent ballots and for the machine to do what the machine does. That's what happened this election. And it was coordinated by design. It's everywhere that Zuckerberg money touched. It's everywhere these nonprofits got engaged in it. And this shadow government ran the election. And these are the same people who are saying, no, you don't need to look at anything. And in fact, it's going so far, they're trying to intimidate and frighten those, such as ourselves and others, who would take a look. That is strong evidence something's wrong. When they fight you tooth and nail from being able to see what happened. Now, you mentioned at the outset, you mentioned this claim that it was the safest election we ever had. You might recall Brad Raffensperger saying that soon after the election.
Yes.
And in fact, he had an auditor in there. Audits validate fraud. They're not designed. Recounts validate the fraud. They're not designed to discover, reveal the fraud. You need investigations to do that. That means putting people under oath. That means walking the street and doing interviews. That means a lot of things, not just audits. It needs real investigations. And so we keep pressing, along with others like Just the News and Michael Patrick Leahy at the Georgia Star. And soon it uncovers this incompetence, if not willful, violation of the law by Fulton County. And now you have Brad Raffensperger saying, we need to put Fulton County in receivership because they can't run an election. An elected official trying to get ahead of the parade rather than doing the right thing when he had the authority and power to do it. We've got too much of that in this country. Yeah, we've got elected officials more concerned about how they're being tracked in polling rather than doing the right thing.
Phil, how much of an issue is the extended election? That it's not a voting day. It's not even a voting week. If you look at states with pre-voting and post-counting, it's an election month. How much of the problem is represented by that stretching of the election?
Not necessarily in fraud. Here's where the fraud occurs or the unfairness of the election. It's if it's done differently in different places. In other words, we don't have a uniform definition of election day. If we don't have a uniform definition of when a ballot's going to be accepted, that is a problem. And this election, we didn't have that. People were using COVID to say, we'll accept ballots days after, even if they aren't postmarked. We had courts stepping in and changing the rules of the game such that they were different in different jurisdictions within the same state. That is a problem. I think the primary concern that we all ought to think about is communication about the election and how that stretching election day out helps incumbents, because incumbents have the money and resources to be in front of the voter more frequently and over a long period of time than any challenger. So extending the election helps an incumbent, and it allows an incumbent to turn out all their votes before a challenger really has the resources to bring up issues that need to be debated if people are going to make an intelligible choice as it relates to who they vote for. That is the primary problem in extending election days. Incumbents would put it out 2 months, my goodness, before a challenger even has an opportunity after a primary to get their election together. So as far as fraud is concerned, the primary problem was eviscerating the protections of the absentee ballots, the introduction of Zucker boxes, the break of the chain of custody as it relates to that, and then treating ballots differently based on where you are, as well as government saying, we want to turn out a specific type of voter here, and it's the Biden voter. So yeah, we're going to hire voter navigators, professional witnesses, all kinds of things, and we're going to go find that voter and turn them out.
Dear friends, somebody else who is also fighting for the truth, like Phil Klein, is America's Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Because he's investigating it, they're trying to destroy him. As a favor to me, as a favor to this great American, will you support Rudy Giuliani? They're trying to bankrupt him, strip him of his law license. Please make a donation to the RudyGiulianiFreedomFund.com so this great American can keep on fighting. That's RudyGiulianiFreedomFund.com. I thank you in advance, and thank you to all of you who have already donated.
Making sense out of today's nonsense, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Phil, last 3 minutes we have with you, it seems to me clear what the problems were. It seems to me that the locus of repair is in the states, because the states have the constitutional authority to run elections. How do we fix it? What can people do, whether they're in Pennsylvania, Georgia, or anywhere else? How do we make sure this does not happen again, Phil?
First, you have to hold state legislatures accountable, and under current law, they are not accountable. They need to have a standing committee. They need to pass legislation that has a standing committee that's bipartisan, that has subpoena power, that compel people to testify and produce documents, whose charge is that they must issue a report, one, whether the election was lawful and followed regulations, two, if it did not, where did it not, three, what was the impact, and four, should the election be certified. All of that should be open and understandable and provided to the American people. You have to ban private money. Many of our states are doing that wrong, but we have to ban private money in the elections, and we have to eliminate these drop boxes.
When you say doing it wrong, what are they doing?
Well, Georgia passed a law that said private money is allowed if it's appropriated by local government. Well, that's exactly what Zuckerberg did. He bypassed the state legislature, went directly to local government, gave them grants, and they used the money. As an example, in Wisconsin, that money was used to give Democrat cities $47 a voter to turn out the vote. And then in Republican areas, there was $4 a voter. You go to Pennsylvania. There was a Zucker box every 4 square miles in strong Democrat county, Delaware County. They also had ballot harvesters paid for, and unlawfully, by the Zuckerberg money flowing through a nonprofit. In the 59 counties that Trump won in 2016, there was one Zucker box for every 1,159 square miles. You have to keep the private money out, and the state has to have the courage to treat every voter the same. What we saw in 2020 was the same Democrat strategy of the Deep South at the turn of the 19th century, where they tried to turn out one type of vote. That was the white vote. They tried to suppress one type of vote. That was the black vote. This time, it was they tried to use government to turn out the Democrat vote, and they tried to suppress the Republican vote. It shouldn't be allowed. it can't happen again.
One more time, where can people find out more about your work and support you, Phil Klein?
You can follow me on Twitter. I see that you have that up on the screen. And also the AmericanVotersAlliance.org is our C4 organization that's involved in this, the AmericanVotersAlliance.org. And then, of course, I direct the Amistad Project.
Well, you are one of the few out there, another voice in the wilderness. I thank you, those who wish to maintain this as the greatest experiment in democracy and the greatest republic in the world, are very, very grateful to you. Phil Klein, former Attorney General for the great state of Kansas. Follow this man's work, support this man's work. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Keep your head on a swivel, dear friends. Watch your six, hold the line, and never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.